Whatever he's doing, tormenting you, disturbing you, frustrating you, is to achieve one thing only, to make you not to remember God. And when you don't remember God, then God too will step away from you. So whatever situation you go through, the first solution is give praise to God. Bluff that situation and praise him. When the doctor gives you a horrible report, the beginning of the solution to that report is to praise God. Because when you praise him, he rises up. For he is fearful in praises. You want to wake God to fight a battle for you? Praise him. Give him praise. Anytime the enemy threatens you, you have a bad dream and you wake up. He's sort of crying and thinking and just jump up in your room and begin to praise the mighty one in battle. Yes. Hallelujah. Never you let any problem keep you from God. If he is your father, then we can learn from little children. When a little child is tormented, is hurt anywhere, where does he run to? He runs to the parents. He does not run away from the parents to solve the problem. He runs to the... He runs to the parents. When your little child is... You are the one that take him to the hospital and they see... The doctor wants to, nurse wants to give him injection. What does he do? What is the cry? Mommy, mommy, mommy. Now mommy carry and go. Amen. Then he's still crying and calling, mommy, mommy, mommy. What happened? Injection. Amen. Whatever situation you are going through, always know that mommy is aware. Daddy is aware. Our God is aware. Is aware. Praise the Lord. And that's why I take worship very seriously. A service is not complete without proper worship. Not conventional religious worship with the organ and then we all stand up. Every service like a funeral service. Amen. That's why that songwriter says, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I will dance like David danced. How did he dance? He danced until he forgot that he was a king. He forgot anything. No big man. For inside church, when you come to church, don't do big man here. No matter how big you have come before a bigger God. Oh, praise God. How about you humble yourself and worship? Some people are dancing. Some people are doing psychedelic worship. Psychedelic worship. Is there any song we sang here that is a new song? It's an old song. All these songs, they are in Baptist hymn books. Just that they have forgotten that now they are holding onto this... Modern, don't know what they call that type of. Don't know what they call it. Praise God. Amen. Okay, we are going to pray tonight, but we are still going to worship God. Because I know that when we worship God, something happens. Yes. Anybody that has any problem you came here with today, keep it aside and praise God. After praising God, you will look for that problem, you will not see it. That is if you keep it aside, though. Don't hold it and praise God, though. It will not release you. You will not be free. Keep it one side. That songwriter says, let's forget about ourselves. Concentrate on him and worship Him. Forget about your problems. Forget about anything. Forget about that quit notice they gave you. Forget about that yeye man that disappointed you. Say yeye man. Yeye man. Forget about that girl that abused you because you don't get money. And forget it. That's. Hallelujah. For every problem that has a beginning, we decide that today is the end. It will end today. End today. Forget it. Forget all that bad-mouthed in-laws you have. Some in-laws get bad-mouthed. You know. Forget it. Very soon, that same mouth will turn. They praise you. Oh, yes. That is how human beings are. It's your condition that is making them come like that. So forget about them and concentrate on He who can change your condition. When your condition is changed, all other things around you will change. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of online members around the world. Can we greet them? Can we? All over the world. All over Nigeria. All over Africa. All over. What do we say? Shalom. What do we say? Shalom, 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 shalom. Amen. Yes, we are not the only ones in this vigil tonight. And I hope nobody is in Lagos here, the online member. You should come here and gather here with us. Let's join our fire together because we are all on fire now. Ask your neighbor, I hope you're on fire. Answer them. Answer your neighbor. Don't be afraid. Ask your neighbor very well. Okay, tell your neighbor, if you're not on fire, can we recharge? Oh yeah, recharge, let me see. Recharge, make I see. Are you recharging? Thank you. That is how to recharge. When you shake somebody in the name of the Lord, the fire on you will touch that person. And that person will come back to life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I wanted to see if I can end the message I've been taking all this while. The evidence of salvation. But, praise God. But I've decided to conclude it on Sunday. For a very obvious reason. Praise the Lord. Because many people that come for vigil here, so many people are here, and what they are after is not salvation. So let's concentrate and give them what they want. So whatever you want, we'll give you today. Because if I start to talk about salvation, they will sleep. Because the message that keeps people awake in all churches now, they are message of prosperity. Or message of deliverance. How you can make your enemy fall down and die. But when you talk about how to go to heaven, they will sleep. And I don't want anybody to sleep tonight. So on Sunday, when people who truly want to go to heaven, even if you don't want to go to heaven, you come on Sunday, after we sing and worship, the place is normally too hot to be able to sleep. So at least something will make you to be awake to hear me. You won't sleep. So on Sunday, God willing, I will conclude that. Praise the Lord. But in case there is somebody who has any question on what I have spoken so far, because I have preached about 4 parts of it. Part 1, 2, 3, 4. And maybe I said, and I know I said so many things. Then you want me to make any clarification, you can ask a question before we go into praises and give you what you came for. You have a prayer request, that's why you came. Let's pray tonight. We are going to pray. So if you have any question, please, you can indicate that. Or you can give us a call, those of you who are online members around the world. The number will be on the screen, or you Skype us, or you tweet us, you text us. Whatever it is, we'll be glad to answer you, because the question of going to heaven must be properly presented and given the due attention. For heaven is our goal in our Christian journey. So if there's anyone, maybe I've said something, come forward and ask your question. We'll be glad to make clarification just briefly before we pray. We pray. Your question, please. Your question, please.
Praise the Lord.
Give him microphone, please.
Praise the Lord. There's this chapter in the Bible that has been disturbing me for a long time. Anyway, that is Luke chapter 19, verse 27. Please, I didn't want you to help me on it.
Can you read it?
Yeah.
What does it say?
It says that those that does not want me to rule over him, that they should bring him before him and slay them.
No, you cannot just quote one verse now. It's a parable that he gave in Luke chapter 19. So, can we read it? Amen. Now, let's start from where that parable begins. And that parable begins okay. I think it starts from verse 12. It starts from verse 12. From verse 11. From verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who is the nobleman? Remember, it is a parable. That nobleman is Jesus. In John chapter 14, he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Say, believe in God, believe in me, believe in God, believe in me. Also, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Say, I go to prepare a place. And that is him here saying something that will come to pass. He going to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And we all are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. That is his second coming. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now here, the talents that he gave here are those spiritual gifts that you have. And those spiritual gifts are the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can we read it? They are known as the manifestations of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now verse 7. From verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. 9 of them. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And remember, Jesus Christ spoke in another scripture. He says, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, ye shall do also. He said, and more than this shall you do. To occupy till I come is to carry on the very work he was doing while he was here with us. And the talents are these 9 spiritual gifts. They are the talents. We are to use them and walk until he comes. Now verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Who are those his citizens? He came to his own. His own received him not. They are the Jews that rejected him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But his citizens hated him. They are the Jews. But I can also tell you that those citizens are also believers that walk against Christ. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, now he's coming back now, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that is the talents now, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Take note also. Let's take note of that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7 again. There's a line there, so that you'll understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Remember, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. The manifestation of the Spirit, which is the 9 spiritual gift, is given for us to make a profit with it. And that's why when he came now, in verse 15 here, he is going to let everyone give account of what you gained with the talent that he gave you. That is something a lot of Christians will miss that day. Because you have your gift and you are not using it the way you should use it. Then see the report now. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You can see that it's giving them authority over cities. Because the kingdom that he went to receive is the millennial kingdom. 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth. As we will reign as kings, and he will reign as the King of Kings. So every one of us here, we have a reward. And our reward will be the number of cities that will be given to us to rule when we come back. Some people will be in the millennium, but they will have nowhere to rule, no authority, because of what you did with your talent. And the second came, verse 18, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy power. As you give me, that's why I keep up. Which I have kept laid up in a napping, a wrap up for you. For I fear thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down and reapest that thou did not sow. Which is wrong. You are lying. That's not who Christ is. But Christ still follow him in his thought. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Anybody that is not using your gift that God gave you, God sees you as a wicked person. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he had shall be taken away from him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then, your question is the next verse. Verse 27. Where he says, but those my enemies, who are they? The Jews. And everyone has rejected him. Which will not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And I preached a message that I titled The Day of the Lord. That is what will happen to everyone that rejected Christ at the coming of the Lord. It says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. It is not a day for anybody to wish to be part of the way the Bible describes what will happen at the coming of Christ to take over this earth with his saints. I hope I've answered you.
Thank you very much, sir. You've answered my question. Because this very issue, I was going through the internet one day and happened to see where a Christian and a Muslim were arguing about religion. So the Muslim man was using this against Christians, that it was Christ that said that they should kill people. So that was what. So
how can a Muslim interpret the Bible?
It's very wrong, but I don't know where he got it.
They don't even believe in the virgin birth, so the virgin birth of Christ. So I don't think we should listen to argument from Muslims concerning the Bible.
All right, thank you very much.
God bless you. Amen. Who else? Praise the Lord. So if there is anybody here, you have a talent and you are not using it, watch and see what will happen. And I say this because there are two categories here. Three categories. One, the first category are those who have the gift, but they use the gift wrongly. They don't use it for the advancement of the kingdom. They use it for self-glory. They use it to, for selfish reasons. They even commercialize it. They use it, they mess up with it. The second group are those group that have the genuine gift, but me, I don't want to. Yejo, and that is foolish humility. See? Then the third group, praise God. Please let the sister come. Come. You've been turning her around. You brought her here. You told her to come here. Now you're telling her to go back again. Sir, are you married? Are you married? Answer me, coordinator.
Yes, sir.
No.
Yes, sir.
You're not married?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
That's why you don't know how to treat women. See, you should know how to treat women. That's why I never marry up to now. A woman would like to come near person when knows how to take care of her. You told her to come here. She come here. So what I direct and come this way. Then you turn and come back here again. If not your wife, you go happy. You do that to my wife, I'll fight you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now the third group. The group that you are in a church, but that church will not allow you to use that gift because you don't fall within the category of those the church feels are qualified to use the gift. For instance, you can never use your gift If it is mommy and daddy church, you know you can't unless you are the son or daughter. You know, and when you are in that type of setting, you are the one that will be there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because ignorance is no excuse. Well, thank God, God has given us a medium like this, a platform to tell the world what is expected of you concerning your position in Christ. No member of the body of Christ is redundant. Every member, once you receive a Holy Ghost, you become a member of the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into Christ. And once you come here, you become a functional member. Everyone that has the Holy Ghost, a gift must burst out. Because it is a manifestation of the Spirit that you have received. And that gift is for you to use it to serve God. The gift defines your ministry. So every one of us is a minister of God. Within the measure of the gift that has been given to you. So, and the interesting thing about this gift is that God also, once He gives that gift, He does not take it back. He leaves you. You can mess up with the gift. He won't take the gift away. Because there is a day He's waiting, you will give account of what you did with it. You see? And that is why a lot of people mistake that they live anyhow life and the gift is still flowing. And then they begin to think that it means God does not care about what they are doing. That's what they are messing up all around. That is why I preach that message, anointing for sin. Everyone that commercializes the gift of God, be ready to answer before Christ. He will stand before you. Did I not give you free? Did I not tell you freely you received the gift and that freely you should minister? Why were you selling oil and water? Handkerchief. Why do you tell people to bring money before they even see you? How much did you pay to receive salvation? Praise God. We will continue to say it because we know by what we say, the true children of God will receive deliverance. Those who are doing it because they saw others doing it, they followed, they thought that is it, they will soon know that they are treading on dangerous ground. The true ones, they will repent. And that is what God likes. God wants you to repent. God wants you to repent. All of you selling anointing, repent. That's why you are still alive. Repent. A day of reckoning is coming. Praise God. And those of you who use your gift for select people, poor people come. You know, the enter spirit to pray for them. But when a rich man park big car, God is also looking at it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Wait. This woman has been standing for long.
Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Sir, I am impressed and so happy to be in your midst. I'm from Winners Chapel. That is happened that I'm living around you here. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I like to come to your activities. But there is something that is bothering me that I said, if opportunity is given to me, I will comment on it.
You have opportunity now.
Yes, sir. Sir, as a minister, is it good for us to be condemning other ministers and their ministry?
Praise God. Can I just ask you one question before I answer you? In Winners Chapel, do you ask G.O. question like this?
No, sir, because you are given opportunity to ask.
You don't have that opportunity over there.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You have the opportunity.
You don't.
You don't.
Yes, sir.
So there's something better than that place. So if I tell them that it is good to give people opportunity to ask G.O. question, am I criticizing that church?
Answer me.
Answer me.
Ask G.O. question. You are not criticizing the church.
If any church is doing something wrong, and I say it is wrong to do that wrong thing, am I criticizing? Now they ask. Answer me, sister.
Daddy, it is like in the book of Revelation chapter 3 that says...
Sorry, you're quoting scripture. Revelation what?
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3 verse...
It's reading from verse 1. He knows our work.
From verse...
From 1, yes, sir.
Revelation
from
chapter 3 verse 1. Can we read it together? Read it. He said it is spoken in Revelation chapter 3 verse 1. Sister, read it. Is that what?
Yes, sir. It's
that
let
what?
Let me share what he's saying. Because
no, you don't need to say it. You don't read it.
Okay,
let me read it for you.
Okay, sir.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing say he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead.
And so on and so forth.
And so on and so forth.
So, God knows our works. And so, we should not help God to judge or to condemn.
Praise the Lord. Mommy, wait. I never finish. I like your advice. I just want to understand your advice. You are a Christian, and you know from the way you are speaking,
By His grace, I'm an evangelist.
You see. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, mommy,
sir,
you're calling. You are an evangelist.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you go to a beer parlor and a woman is living her life, she's feeding her family by selling beer. And beer brewery company, they have license by government. It's not illegal business. Do you go to such places to evangelize, sister? Evangelist.
Sir?
Yes.
God told Moses.
Mommy, answer me now. Do you go to beer parlor to evangelize?
Yes, sir.
When you go, what do you tell them?
Jesus loves you. He died for you. And He wants you to come to Him, to repent of your sins.
When you say repent of sin, you are telling Him not to drink beer.
That is wisdom. I will not tell Him not to drink beer. I will tell Him to repent and accept Jesus as His Lord and personal Savior. By the time Jesus...
But you are telling Him that His lifestyle is bad, isn't it?
But I will not spell it because I may hurt Him. And even if He can give His life to Jesus, He will be hurt.
Okay, so what you are saying is, if we see any bad thing happening in any church, like your G.O. slapped one small boy, small girl, or you have to slap one girl. Now, as bad as it is, we should not say like that is bad. We should say,
Daddy, I love their humility, but I must say my feeling, because I like coming here. But whenever I heard another minister commenting on against another, he used to...
No, this, you will not, sister, you will not like this church. Because this church is called to shine light in darkness. You understand? This church is a Bible church. We are a continuation of Bible Christianity. And Apostle Paul mentioned Demas. He was a minister like him. Alexander the coppersmith was a minister like him. Even Judas was a minister. And they are all names of ministers that mess up the gospel. And today, if we still have them messing up the gospel, we will say it so that they will repent. For nobody is above the word of God. And God is no respecter of persons. God bless you. Thank you. Evangelist, mommy. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By His grace, my name is Alphonsus.
We have a question. Brother Francis from Abuja said, why are we called Gentiles, or how did we become Gentiles? We are Gentiles because there are only two races on earth. We have Jews, descendants of Abraham, and the rest of the world. Anyone that is not a Jew is a Gentile. That's all. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, this question has been bothering me. What I'm seeing in the church today is bothering me. People doesn't go to church again with Bible. Many go with only their hamper and their phone to read the Word of God. So I'm worried. I say I will bring it to you. What do you think about it?
I think I've answered that before. What I should ask you instead, what do you think is wrong with it?
I think something is wrong by they are neglecting the Word of God.
They are neglecting what?
The Word of God. But they are taking the Word of God carelessly. That's what I think.
Praise the Lord. Now, it all depends on how you look at it. I've had cause to answer this several times. Personally, I am still of the old school. I am still of the old school. There's something about this book, the Bible, that I've given so much reverence to it. I've given a lot of reverence to it. And anytime I pick this Bible to me, I am picking the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so to me, you know, this book is still to be, you know, I reverence it so much. But now watch it. Every age, we have technology. There was a time that it was not a book like this, it was scroll. It was scroll. And while it is, when it evolved to what it is today, with the printing technology that came up, there will be people that will say that they will hold and remain still with the scroll, because that is where the original thing was written. You see? And so, the same thing also. You will notice that book you are holding, Bible, it also has commentaries that are written there. So it's not even everything in that book that is inspired scripture. So you have to know that there were some additions. All those comments by theologians that they write, this chapter means this, this one means this, and they put footnotes, Bible commentaries. They are added to that same book you are holding and saying it is a holy Bible, but it has addition. Now, it evolves again now. We are now in electronic age, where you cannot use any of these devices. You store your files. You store so many other personal things that you go about with it. And so, to make it handy, they also took this same Bible now and turn it to electronic Bible and then take it to these same devices. I am rather watching out that you make sure that nothing is subtracted from it. Not where it is kept. So to me, if it is for convenience that you are carrying that device, whether it is a palm top, laptop, or whatever it is, all the pads, the notes you carry about, it depends on how convenient it is. Remember that wherever it is written, it is the understanding that matters. Because the word of God is not supposed to be in a book, it's supposed to be in your heart. And wherever you will pick it from, make sure it enters your heart. That is what God is looking at. I believe that is what it is.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you. And I'm not saying it to support anything because I don't feel comfortable, you know, about carrying that to the altar. Maybe, and I'm not condemning anybody, whatever is convenient for you. What I'm watching up is not the book you are holding, it's the life you are living. And that book does not make any sense to you until what is written there is reflected in your life. Because I suddenly discovered something that helps me, and I'm reading my Bible all through very easily by this same device. I just stumble across it by mistake because my phone not to receive and send. I don't know any other thing inside there. Then I saw something about Bible. I clicked it and I discovered that I can hear a voice reading the Bible. So what I do these days is I wake up in the morning, my Bible reading, I just put it on where I stopped yesterday and I continue and I discover that I covered more chapters in a day listening to it as it's being read, you know, with voice. So it has its advantage that you can carry it about anywhere. But one thing again I do know is that if all you have is that device for your Bible, all you have is that device for your Bible, then during Bible study, there is something about a personal Bible you have where you read and make notes. It is easier for reference than the electronic device. Also, when one chance jam you, they will carry you. All your Bible, they don't carry go with that. But if you have the book, they don't care about the Bible in the book. So your book is always, at least it's safe. Anyway, it is a matter of choice. I still want to say it. The emphasis is the life that you live. Where I get worried is all the different editions. Revised Standard Version. This version. All those versions that are coming up. Watch it carefully, it's an agenda. A lot of them, certain scriptures are misrepresented there to change the meaning. So I advise everybody, stay with the old good King James English. Deep thou heart. When you see all those things, it's a satanic agenda. International Version, New International Version, New King James, New that. Watch it very well. There are certain things, especially the ones that pertain to salvation. They water it down, they add something, subtract something to change the meaning, to achieve what they want to achieve. So that is what we are watching out against. Stay with the King James Version. If you watch it, they are getting cheaper and cheaper, the new versions, cheaper and cheaper, and King James Version is getting more and more expensive. so that everybody will abandon King James and hold on to the watered down versions. Thank you very much. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, please, my question is from the book of...
Please, let it be only those standing now so that we can pray well, well. Yes.
From the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 15.
Yep.
Where he said, but if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So I want to know if a man or a pastor got married along the line, the woman said that she don't want to continue with him because he has given his life to Christ. Can such man remain unmarried?
Remain unmarried?
Yes.
You have just read verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 15. Because watch what he said. Go to verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Yes, sir.
Read it.
For the unbelieving husband is satisfied
by... I think it's from verse 12 or so. Let's start it from verse 12.
Okay. But to the rest...
Yes, to the rest.
Speak I, not the Lord.
Let me read it. Praise the Lord. Yes. But to the rest... Speak I, not the Lord. It's an apostle. He's giving an advice because such a situation will arise. And in his office as an apostle, he can set the church in order. He said, if any brother had a wife that believeth not, like you are saying, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. If she say, you are born again, I don't follow you, do born again. I remain Guru Maharaj. But, I will still want to remain your wife. He said, don't put her away. The next verse, 13. Verse 13.
And the woman which had an husband.
Now, let me read it. And the woman now, which had an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Verse 14. This is the reason. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, who is a believer. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, who is a believer. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy, just because one of you is a believer. Verse 15. Then he now said, but if the unbelieving man or woman now depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. Which bond? It's a marriage bond. It is now broken. So, he has broken. You are going to say, for those who teach otherwise, that the man now that has given his life to Christ, and now that he has given his life to Christ, and even maybe even call into the ministry of leadership in the ministry as a minister, then the woman say they go. Then you will say that he is a cross. For giving his life to Christ, he will stay without wife? No. According to the scripture, the bond is broken. He cannot pick himself a wife. And Apostle Paul added, he said, this time only in the Lord. Now you will not pick an unbeliever again and marry. You will not marry a believer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, after the rapture, in Revelation chapter 11, The Bible told us about when God will raise two prophets going to minister to the Jews to open their eyes.
I must add this. I just want for emphasis. Especially followers of the ministry of William Branham and a lot of some of these so-called holiness-believing churches. They cause a lot of problem in the area of this marriage and divorce. They cause a lot of problem, and it is all because of their myopic insight into what the scriptures say. If you don't understand grace, you can't preach salvation. If you don't understand mercy, you can't preach restitution. You must understand mercy. If not, you won't be able to preach forgiveness. And you must understand the law of Christ. You must understand what Christianity is. That there are problems that follow you as you come into Christ. So, what does the Bible say to handle such problems? Especially in the area of marriage. As an unbeliever, you live a certain lifestyle with a lot of attachments to you. That when you are now a Christian, there are some that you will detach yourself from. But there are some that lie, you can't detach yourself. It will follow you till you go heaven. A Christian should not marry more than one wife. But you married, legally married, several women, 3-4 wives. Now you've seen the light. They are not property that you can take and throw away. So you cannot tell a man, pick only one and put the rest away. So where? And there is a solution for that in the Bible. How you should treat such a case. And there is also solution. Now you are an unbeliever. You marry, you know, the way you jam yourselves out there. Christ was not in you. Then one of you now finds Christ. And the other one say, I know too. Then he leaves. And of course, that one that leaves you, she's not going to stay single. The man is not going to stay single. He's going to marry another person. Then here you are. A preacher will tell you, once you have married before, you can't marry again. And that is your cross. That is your cross. So I will remain. Imagine that a 32-year-old young man married a few years back. 32 or maybe 30 years old. Then the woman say, lie. Then take off. Go back to her former boyfriend. Go marry there. Then your pastor will tell you, you can't remarry because your wife is still alive. She's alive where? In the arms of another man. Then he's telling you that lie, you can't marry. That is intermessage preachers for you. You cannot marry. Lie, you cannot marry. Lie. Even the pastor giving you that type of counsel is wicked, because if he is the one, will he give that type of counsel to himself? So wicked. So the man now is sentenced to perpetual celibacy. Reverend Father. Amen. That is wrong. Praise the Lord. Do you even know that in Deuteronomy 24 or so, the first 3 verses there, where the law was given, even now you as a believer now, you marry a woman and for any reason you even put away the woman leaves you, goes and marries another man, and anything else happens and then he leaves that man, maybe the man die or something, and then decides to come back to his her own love. The Bible says you cannot receive her again. Why? Because she has gone to pollute herself. Remember that you can put away a woman if you find her in fornication. Now he lives with another man. You can't have her back. Now, if you cannot have her back, it simply means, church, listen, marriage is a bond, it's an agreement, it's a contract. When you break that vow, you have broken what joins you together. You now go and take yourself another partner. That is the Bible. Thank you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I have two questions.
Yes.
Now, concerning the two prophets.
Let me answer. Femi Ikutiyinu from United Kingdom. Shalom, Pastor. How relevant is the parable of a steward man in Luke 16, 1 to 8 to our Christian life? Can I answer that? Luke 16, verse, the parable. Luke chapter 16. Amen. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lost debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 4 score. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And what you are asking is, how relevant is this? Okay, let's finish that reading. I think there is something we should catch here. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fall, when you fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Praise the Lord. Okay. Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Finally, no servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you are asking how relevant it is to the Christian world. Christ is just speaking wisdom. You are either here or you are here. Amen. You must find yourself somewhere. That's what he's saying. Because a reckoning time is coming. Everyone shall stand and give account of himself. And you know, every one of us, you know that what you are living, the type of lifestyle you are living, you will either make it in a rapture or not. So since you know, if the rapture will strike, you will not go. He said that the wisest thing for you to do is begin to prepare so that when you are left here, you will have people that you will be able to associate with. The unbelievers, when Christ will come to collect his own and go. If not, you are here. You are abusing everybody. You are abusing everybody. Meanwhile, you are not living your own life worthy of the gospel. So by the time it's gone, everybody, those prostitutes that used to see you, sister, where not they wear a ring, not they palm your hair, where not they wear cross, no gutter, where not they wear all those things, where then they wear, you say, holy, holy, holy. Meanwhile, inside of you, you were worse than death. Then rapture strikes. Then you are coming to them. They will also reject you. So you have nowhere to stand. And he said that that is how the children of this world, that is how they live their life. They are wise. They live a life so that they don't lose both sides. That is the advice is given. Praise the Lord. I think it's just wisdom he was giving us. To stress that you are either here fully or you are not. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is the conclusion of the matter. Thank you. Yes.
So, when the Bible makes us understand that when they preach and open the eyes of the Jews, the Antichrist will be annoyed and kill those two prophets. Now, in verse 9, I want to know. Say, and they of the people and kindred.
A call? A call coming in.
Yes, sir.
Sister Faith from Bayelsa, you're on air. Let's hear you.
Okay. My question is that, as a believer, are we supposed to worship with Muslims? Because a sister came that I know very well, that is very close to me. A sister came and told me that.
Go on.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir.
God bless you. We are hearing your question.
Okay. A sister from my close to me. This sister told me that their pastor, their general overseer, said that if they travel to anywhere and there is no Christian church in that place they travel to, if they see a Muslim, okay, if they see a Muslim at a Muslim church, they should go inside that Muslim church and worship. That Muslims are doing the right thing. And this sister is worshiping in Tuesday. And she said that is what their general overseer taught them. And we are arguing, so how can that kind of thing be? Say they are following the instruction of God. Even that even Christians are the ones messing up the instruction of God. I said, no, the word of God says we cannot mix up with them. She said, no, that is what their general said. So if they go anywhere that is no Christian church and they see Muslims, they should go and worship there. So, sir, how can this thing be? I want to know, because since I heard this thing, it is disturbing my mind.
Thank you, Sister Faith from Bayelsa State. When it comes to Tuesday, I'm very, very careful. Because they are our very good neighbors here. And we want to be very good neighbors. And God has ordained that we shall remain neighbors forever. Praise God. I think, Sister Faith, I would disagree with whoever told you. If I know the general overseer of that church, I know that he will not even let his members go to other churches. So, because except you are a choosing, you cannot be heaven at last. And if I follow what they teach, such a man will not tell you that if you go and there is no Christian church around, or there is no choosing, that you can go to even a mosque around and worship God, that they are worshiping the same, we are worshiping the same God. I will advise that you confirm that by writing them. Then if they reply you that yes, that is the stand of the church, then come back to me and I will tell them that they are wrong. I will tell them that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the creator of the heavens and the earth except by me, Jesus. And the Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Praise the Lord. So if they confirm, this is what I will tell them. But I am not telling them that yet, until we hear their reply. Thank you very much. The next person.
Praise God. So, in when they killed those two prophets, in verse 9, say, and the day of all the people and kindred and tongues and nation shall see their dead body 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. So I want to know that word, kindred and nations will see the dead body lying on the floor. I want to know, did God want to do any other work with, is they going to have a spiritual eyes to be watching those people wherever they are? Or is it by a gadget? Is that verse 9 fulfilled? Or God is going to, you know, do another work during that period?
Your question is, how will they be seen? The war that is going on by ISIL and everybody and Syria and everywhere, was the world not seeing what is happening? When they play football, you know, they watch us here. Which kind of question did they ask?
Okay.
If they had asked this question 200 years ago, then we would say the technology of television was not there. Satellite now has made it possible. Even as you are standing here now, somebody can see you.
Okay, that is
look at us now. They are watching us all over the world now. So they will see them on the streets.
Okay, that is the fulfilling
of Jerusalem. God okay. Bless you.
The second one, sir. Now, we are made to understand that baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is not acceptable. In fact, whether it's by your mansion, God will not accept it. Now, here also in this ministry, I see why joining couples to seal the marriage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the other side, they join couples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I want to know if that pronouncement, is it acceptable by God?
Which pronouncement?
Of joining couples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, Colossians 3, verse 17. What does it say? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's read it. And whatsoever, it includes joining marriage, isn't it? You do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Which name? God bless you. Next person.
Church, praise the Lord. So my own question is about revelation. Is it right for a believer to see himself wearing red shoe or red...
Sorry, there's a question from Gabon. Brother Smart from Gabon. Shalom, Pastor. Please explain to me Revelation 14, verse 6, 7, and 9. Revelation 14. When you ask such question, it's too wide. Explain to me. Some people send that kind of question to me. Verse 6, Revelation chapter 14. Verse 6 and what? 7 and verse. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his Christ in his forehead, or if any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, that's verse 9, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Which explanation do you want? What is confusing there? Remember that by chapter 13, they had taken the mark. That means the next thing you are waiting for is judgment. Because by the time you take the mark, the saints of God have gone and they have already spent about 3.5 years already after the rapture. The last 3.5 years is the time of the tribulation where you must take the mark or you will not be allowed to buy or sell. And many will submit themselves to take the mark. And all those who take that mark, Christ will be coming with his saints on the day of the Lord. They are those that will face the indignation. They are those that will face the judgment that is coming. So, important thing there is that you don't get to a stage where you will submit yourself to take the mark by making your calling and election sure. Thank you. Yes, sister?
Sir, my question is about dream. Is it good for a believer to find himself wearing red shoe or wearing red shirt?
Inside dream.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, listen. When it comes to interpretation of dreams, there is no certain interpretation to say anytime you see this, it must be this. So it depends on what you were wearing red doing. It depends on what you are wearing the red doing. Because it is not the color that matters, but what you are doing with it. Because you can wear white. Somebody can wear white and carry knife pursue you.
Okay, sir.
So there are some dreams that you just ignore. And sometimes, maybe you ate some kind of food that night. Before you sleep, your spirit will be troubled, turn everything upside down. Or you have malaria.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
There is malaria dream. Don't forget any dream you have when you have malaria. Just ignore it. Nothing. Don't be message. Now confusion, they follow your spirit. Yes?
Praise the Lord. Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
Please, sir, there is a time that I was asking God for something, to direct me for something.
Is it my wife?
No, sir.
Okay.
So, after it, I have a revelation, and Bible quotation was given to me. John 15, verse 16, and John 10, 13. And
I'm with you, I'm still there.
Who are you?
All right. I'm Mr. Gimika Urike, calling from River State.
Gimika from River State. Let's hear you. You're on air.
Hello? Yeah, my question is, I'm an Anglican. I'm an Anglican. Our reverend and our bishop, they put on staff in their head during church service. And I have asked the question. They say in Levite is the order they gave them to serve as a reverend. So they have asked me to go and read Leviticus. I have read, I did not find it. So I have read a place that says the glory of a woman is the husband in the church. So therefore a woman must cover her head. Then I now ask, is our glory now going to our reverend? As a man too, I am. So I need a clarification, sir.
Praise the Lord.
It's right for them to cover their head in the church service.
Okay, Ginika, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Okay. You are Anglican and you are saying your priest put cap on the head. Your bishop put cap on the head. Pentecostal bishops too, they put it. Catholics, they put it. And because some of them are red cap chiefs. Let me quickly tell you, these are some of the things we speak and they call us critics. Listen, there is we have different religions on earth. And let me quickly tell you that even Muslims, they quote Bible. They agree with the story of Abraham and Ishmael. They hold on to the Old Testament. It is the New Testament that they are confused about. Can I tell you also that the Rosicrucian Amok, they also quote Bible. That most religions on earth quote Bible. Now, there is the Catholic religion. There is the Anglican religion. Praise the Lord. And whatever is the practice of your religion, that is what your religion is. There is freedom of religion. But when you now try to make it look like a Christian practice, then we that are Christians, we will tell you it has nothing to do with Christianity. Nothing like that. Praise the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, the Grace Age, there is no more office of a priest as in the order of Aaron. Why? Because every Christian now, man or woman, we are of the royal priesthood. That's what the Bible says. We are of the royal priesthood. And our high priest, what is his name? Jesus is our high priest. Praise the Lord. So if anybody says he's a priest in the order of the Levites, it is his religion, not Christianity. And so, our own religion, our own leaders, they are in the fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. That is where the Christian leadership is. Anything beyond that is not Christianity. And our own leadership is not in the order of the Levites, priests. Therefore, no specification of dress is given to us while we occupy our office of leadership. That is why our master, even the high priest, while he was in his earthly ministry, among only 12 disciples, he was so much mixed among them, they could not identify him. They had to bring an insider to identify him. Therefore, all these attempts of hierarchy, from this level, you reach this level, you reach this level, then you become Ak, and become senior Ak. It is their religion. It has nothing to do with Christianity. No Bible base in this grace age. And church, listen, I am not quarreling with it. We have freedom of religion. But it is when you bring it to Christianity, then we that are Christians, we will tell you, lie, lie, that has no Bible base. Praise the Lord. Among Christians, the Bible tells us, when we come together like this for worship, the woman veil her hair. The man leave your hair. That is why we don't put anything in our head when we are worshiping. That's why the woman cover your hair when you are worshiping. That is the Christian tradition. Instituted by Apostle Paul, our apostle that brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Thank you very much. You ask me a question.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Another
Hello,
one.
I'm here.
From Texas, USA, Brother Emma, God bless you.
Okay. Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
So, my question is about... You know, I've heard there are so many people have said a lot of things, especially Christians, have said a lot of things about alcohol. But, searching through my Bible, I can't really find where alcohol is. But rather, the scripture was pointing out at getting drunk. Somewhere in
We lost that call. Sorry, we lost that call. Brother Imam from USA, you may wish to call back. Hope you can get through within the few time we have left. Yes.
Sir, I said that I asked God to direct
me. I think he's asking a question about alcohol. Okay, I don't know what he's asking about alcohol.
So I asked God to direct me in what business, which area to go. So I have a revelation. So in that revelation, Bible quotation was given to me, John 15 verse 16 and John 10 30. And that is not what I was asking God. So I want you to explain to me. Because
sorry, the first scripture is what? John
15 verse 16.
John 15 verse 16. Can we read it? John 15 verse 16. John 15 verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What again? Which scripture?
John 10 verse 30.
Eh?
John 10, 30.
John chapter 10 and verse 30. John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. Finish. You were asking God for which business to do. And God is using those scriptures to tell you that you should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. seek me first. I am the one that have called you. So, the business first is seek me. Seek my business first. Then other things will be added. I think that is all the Lord was telling you.
So that remain, that the fruit will remain, so that I don't understand that.
No, I've summarized what the whole scripture is all about.
So I should go and...
What he say is, seek him first, get converted first, before you begin to ask him to give you what to do. Seek his face, get a relationship with him first, and he will direct you what to do.
Thank
God
you,
God bless
sir.
You.
Daddy, good morning, sir.
Yes. The last two people now.
Daddy, please, I want you to put me through. I'm not here to argue, but I believe what Brother Assembly believe. I have a problem with, I have a preacher saying that, let me use your wife as an example, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Maybe
hello,
I saw...
Alcohol. Emma, go on.
Yeah, Emma.
Go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, the phone dropped. I don't know what happened.
We're hearing you.
Okay. My question is about alcohol. Is it bad to take alcohol or is it bad to take on? Because I heard people say that actually touch alcohol, but thanks to my script, and I couldn't find anything.
I'm sorry, Ma, we will have to cut the line. Maybe you have to write it, text it to us, and well, we will read it and answer you. We cannot hear you. The line is breaking. Okay.
Daddy, maybe I saw mommy now. I say, mommy, good morning. I put it as a respect, maybe my background. The preacher says it's a wrong, that person is a witch.
To do what?
Maybe to say, mommy, maybe someone that give me age of 7 years, I say, mommy. He says that person is a witch, is possessed. Since that,
he said, how should you greet the person?
Maybe you just say sister. You know, it was like argument. I say, with my background, does not tell me that I see somebody that give me 7 years, I say sister. It's like my age mate, I can call sister, but anybody that give me 7 to 10 years, I call you mommy. He said that person is witch and possessed. My second question, sir.
I make an answer the first one.
Okay, sir.
The person, is he an enter message preacher?
Yes, sir.
Is the person in Shomolu?
No, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes when people have nothing to preach, they begin to talk nonsense. We are, first and foremost, you must take note that when you receive the Holy Ghost, it gives you a spirit of humility. And we come from different backgrounds. We are, every one of us, we know how we express respect for the elderly from wherever we come. The Yoruba man with dobale, they will lie down flat. Now, the fact that we also worship God by lying down does not mean that the Yoruba man that is greeting the elder by lying down is giving worship. Because we also pray to God standing. So we don't begin to make a doctrine of that. Now, whatever way you express your respect for the elderly, there is nothing wrong with it. A lot of people, to call your elderly one, the elderly, a woman that is as old as your mother, sister, you don't have Holy Ghost. And you have a very bad background. You were not brought up properly. Now, in America, now what constitutes disrespect to us here It's not disrespect to them. Because they can call their father high worker. The son will call the father high worker. And he said, he will say, hi, peace. Hi, Nene. You know. So, and it's here in Africa that we have so many of these things. So, in America, you will not say it's disrespect. That's why the Africans who marry over there, they can't cope with it. When their children grow up in that society, they try to bring them home to learn some African values of showing respect. So it's nothing like you are possessed there. Don't mind that. Now, him they possess with the spirit of disrespect. God bless you.
Yesterday, that was Thursday. But I like prayer. I just went to somewhere to pray. The preacher was saying yesterday that we don't need to pray for long life. We need to pray for eternal life. That anybody that pray for long life is a witchcraft. And me particularly, I pray for long life because I want to live more than 100 years.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know which. There's a psalm. There is a psalm. I hope I will remember that psalm. I don't know how that person will read this psalm. I think it is psalm. Eh? Praise the Lord. Psalm 21 is the one I'm referring to. Verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4. Of course, Psalm 91 is there too. Verse 3, the prayer goes like this. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He said, he asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him even length of days, forever and ever. That's the scripture I'm looking for. So, it is not wrong to ask for length of days, for long life. Long life is a blessing from God. Praise God. Maybe that person has entered a covenant to live a short life. So he knows he's not going to live long. Praise the Lord. And it is what you want that God will give you. If you want long life, God will give you long life. If you want short life, God will give you short life. So, please, don't let anybody teach that type of thing. I don't know. Maybe you did not understand the person. But if that is what he said, he is wrong. Eh? Sorry, why does that microphone go off? Praise God. I don't know. I think we have better things to preach than that. Well, I don't know why people cause confusion in Christianity. Okay, I think I've finished with you.
No, sir. Remember the last question.
The last question. Please, our time
that
is
short. Sorry, sir. I have a problem with a minister. He's just the minister left here, but he's not ordained minister. He just said all these ministers are coming up. The minister told me that, because why I asked this question is because of 3 weeks ago, somebody asked the question. That's why I find out that it's not only Bride Assembly that have swimming pool, that even other churches have swimming pool. The minister asked me that, why is it Bride Assembly having swimming pool to baptize? I told the minister on my own because I consider people. I said, look at the Moluwe. Every Tuesday, these people will chatter Moluwe. How much are they making? 20 naira for offering, chattering Moluwe. I said, whether in Shai Ocean or what, everything is what, all somebody I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I know. You know, he started making some argument. I just Whenever I see that minister, I am not...
He's no more here.
Yeah, he's no more here.
So, I don't know what you want me to say. We don't have swimming pool. We have baptismal pool. So, maybe he has seen swimming pool. So, we are all thinking that this is swimming pool. That place is dedicated solely for baptism. It's a baptismal pool. And if he is... If it's an intermittent believer,
you don't have a church. The minister don't have a church.
No, I'm coming. I say a believer. Intermittent believer, we have a prophet to this age, William Branham, that built their own church. And at the altar by the side there, there was a pool there so that they can hold baptismal service. So whenever they want to baptize people, it is a service. Everybody sees them being baptized after they close that place. And many churches have it. It is because they don't understand the meaning of baptism. Baptism is burial. It's burial. You die and you are buried. That is it. And concerning burial, there is no designated place that you must bury here. You can bury anywhere you choose to bury. Some people even bury in their bedroom. Some people bury in front of their house. Some at the back of their house. Some go to a cemetery to bury. Wherever, the important thing is he must be buried. Every dead man or woman must be buried. It's because they don't have this knowledge. That's why they are bothering themselves about which type of water you will go and, you know. Those of us who evangelize, I had a prison ministry some years back. And I was visiting prisons all around the country and the West African coast. And I was preaching and they were believing. And only at, I think Okigwe or so, I know Okigwe prison there, that they allowed me to carry prisoners to the river that was near and brought them back. Who believed and baptized them. But the rest, for security reasons, they will not release the prisoners. So I took permission and I built baptismal pools in many of them. So when they believe, we go there, we fill that place with water and we bury them there. And they are baptized. Leave those who want to find fault up and down and just some legalists, critics. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Oh, one more.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, from nowhere. Brother Chichoke, from nowhere, everywhere in the world, Igbo people did there. Nowhere. Chijoke, nowhere. Pastor, please, what relation or is there any connection between Daniel 8:14, the 2,300 days of Daniel have with Daniel 9:24-27 and the 70 weeks of Daniel? Please throw more light. Brother Chijoke, we don't close. Our time is gone. Praise God. Get that question. Daniel 70 weeks. Can we screen it again? The first one is what? Daniel 8:14. Okay. Daniel 8:14, what does it say? Praise God. Verse 14, Daniel 8. Amen. To get the proper picture, you have to read it from verse 13. Then I had one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. What's the next verse? The question again, please. Chapter 9, what? 24. That is the 70 weeks of Daniel. 24 to... That is the 70 weeks of Daniel. We all know that one. Let's save time. Praise the Lord. There is no link. Daniel's 70 weeks is the period given for the divine agenda that God gave Daniel and stated the time from which he will begin to count 70 weeks, and he stated the six things that shall come, that shall be fulfilled within the 70 weeks period. And we saw that the 70 weeks period is a 70 weeks of years. So it's 70 times 7. 1 week is 7 years. And he gave a divine agenda there. What Daniel saw is a different thing entirely. I'm trying to compress this because we have preached this before. Please get the messages we preach. We tie to the divine agenda. And then you see how God, his program, right from the Garden of Eden until we reach the eternal age, after the 1,000 years reign, after the white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, and how we now enter the great eternal age. All the whole agenda, and where we fit in, and where we are now in that agenda. Please get that tape, and then we can be detailed there when you go through it. Thank you very much. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, my question is concerning the gift. You know, immediately you started speaking concerning the gift, I was sitting there and I almost got chained. So for me to stand up and come out and ask.
You have come out now. What's the question?
Okay, my question is, when I newly gave my life to Christ, when I was praying for God to give me the Holy Ghost, I never knew Holy Ghost comes with a gift, and all I was concerned is I want God to change my nature and make me heaven, for me to go to heaven. And when I received the Holy Ghost and had a gift, I don't know how to use it. So all what I see is in my dream, I see myself, you know, conducting deliverance for people. And so physically, I don't know how to use it. So when you were talking about we will give account of it, and immediately I started...
Do you see vision?
No, I don't. I see small.
Do you speak in tongues?
I don't.
No? Do you hear a voice sometimes speak to you?
I only heard once.
You heard once? Praise God. Yes. Amen. Don't worry. What you should be praying to God, every one of you that received the Holy Ghost, is, Lord, let me know my gift. Lord, let me know my part in the body of Christ. Lord, reveal my gift to me. Amen. But I can tell you that gifts like speaking in tongue, for instance, speaking in tongue is intercessory gift. God gives you that gift because, remember, every gift is to supply something to the body. You are contributing to the body. Now, while speaking in tongue also edifies you, the speaker. But that gift essentially is for intercession. Because when a matter, you pick up a matter to handle, you that have the gift of speaking in tongue, you pray normally, and very soon the Holy Ghost takes over and begins to pray now more perfectly. And the way you will know it is the Holy Ghost, you will know that you are not the one now speaking. You will know that it is, because speaking in tongues is a supernatural action. Forget all this one. Some of these Pentecostals have messed it up. Until somebody can will and say, let me speak in tongues. Ah, throughout today, I never speak in tongues. Forget all that showmanship they do with that gift. They make carnal, you know, make application of that. That is a very serious gift. It's a gift that if you have it, look, you are specially blessed. That's why Satan has got to mess it up. It's a very serious gift. Anybody with that gift, if you handle any matter in intercession, it is settled. Because it will not be no more be used. When you start, it will not stop until the matter is settled. The Holy Ghost now takes over and prays perfectly. Prays perfectly. Now, some of you, okay, time don't go.
Sorry, sir.
I talk too much.
Actually, as I was saying, I wasn't concerned. I'm not concerned about it at all. All what I want is for God. I was like,
you are correct.
I was saying that how can I have such a gift and I'm not totally, you know,
converted.
Perfect, converted. I still have some weaknesses. So what do I? So each time I have that vibration, I don't. You know, so when you were talking, I felt so bad and...
Thank you. Maybe you are the reason why I spoke it today. You know, ignorance is not good. See, concerning perfection, we will be growing to perfection. We shall be growing to perfection. You don't get perfected in one day. You will be growing. So, while you are growing, you will be functioning within the grace God has given you. And always take note, as you grow in your divine nature, you also grow in the gift. Every gift you have, you grow in it. You grow in it. But if you don't use it, you remain stagnated. The more you use your gift, the better that gift becomes. And if you stop using it, he will also stop functioning. So every gift you have, use it. Speaking in tongue is for intercession. Of course, we also have the gift of prophecy, that the Spirit can speak in tongue and then also interpret. That is prophetic gift. Healing gift, you will know. I have told you, those of you who healing, it comes, it starts with a vibration you will have in your hand. If you notice, it's a gift, there is S there. Gifts of healing, because there is no one way of healing. There are many ways. It can be by laying on of hands. You know, it's a gift, whichever way. But that you know that when somebody is sick, there is a sign that comes upon you. And remember, it is a manifestation of the Spirit. So the Spirit will give that manifestation when he wants to use you to heal somebody. Sometimes you feel the pain where the person is having the pain. And then you can know that I was praying for a sister in my office, I think on Tuesday or so, and I called two people to join me, another sister from the choir, that she should just, you know, stay back The sister had a stomach problem. And immediately the sister entered my office for us to pray. This other sister in the choir started holding her stomach. She was in pain in the stomach. Now, I already have experience enough to know that I will be watching her. So I was watching her. I kept praying until I watched this sister. She became calm. Then I knew that it is over. Praise God. So that's why it is gifts of healing. And she must be healed. So that is for healing. There's a gift of faith. The gift of faith comes with a boldness. Boldness from nowhere. Person die. He said, lie, lie. He will not die. But the way it comes, you will not realize what came over you until that person comes back to life. That is how it works. Not because now the only person who had the trust of it is to help me, you can't die. Now lie, you're not going to die, yo. You're not going to die. Not be that one. That one, lament. You are lamenting. That will not be gift of faith. A gift of faith, it's not even something you will it. It is sudden boldness that comes upon you. Silver and gold have we none. I hope you know that was faith. But such as we have, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he rose and walked. Amen. And it is not, they have passed, they will pass other people too who are there. Something ignites it. Remember, it is not you. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. That is why, even with the healing gifts that you have, it's not everyone you pray for that will receive healing. So it is still God that decides, okay, I will heal using you. It's not everyone. That is why even you that have that gift, you must pray and be sure that he has come down. And you will know. And that's why we have those manifestations. You feel the fire, you feel a sensation, you feel that this thing, then you can know, okay, he's here. Then you can boldly say, sister, you'll be healed now. When I say you'll be healed now, it's not just saying it for saying sake. And many of us operate our gifts that way. Even those who are prophets, waiting, you don't go die. Because you are able to see the problem. You don't go die. Listen, you will not die. You will not die. What makes you say you will not die? Are you just saying it for saying sake? Or there is something that makes you know you will not die. Now that is how it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You must know the gift that you have. You must know the gift that you have. Somebody recently was brought for prayers. And then I noticed something. You know, the person's case was very horrible. Something, and I battle within myself, you know, to go, and I kept avoiding to pray for the person. And I was very worried. Then a thought occurred to me. And I think I was telling one of the pastors. I say, anytime I see this thing come like this, that person is going to die. I said, that person is going to die. Anytime you see me avoiding to pray for the person, no unction to pray. And me, I don't pray for anybody for praying sake. I said, that person is going to die. But if the person is not going to die, immediately I sight the person, something will come up, pow, and anger will come. And once I pray for that person, the person lives. It's a gift. So you can see it's no more me, it is him. And so you must discover how God uses you. It will be easier with you. I'm telling you, I have insisted a dead person came back to life by that same thing. Come upon you. You know, even after praying for hours, prayer of faith for hours, the person didn't come. And then suddenly, something just came and said, "Mother, Kapu." No, it was not me now. Come out my shirt. This person doesn't come back to life. I will resign from the ministry. Everybody stop crying. Now you know a man cannot talk like that. And this time I'm not shouting. I said, I will count four. And you must come back to life. If not, I will drop ministry. I will pastor again. And I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, shouted the name. And he came back to life. Now you know that was no more me because I've been praying for hours. You know, don't stand up. It's true. He said somebody's in the hospital for long, blah, blah, blah. One of the choir members. And I said, I went there with my wife. And as soon as I went, I saw the condition on the bed. Dio, you were there, your group member. And they called me somewhere in Ogba. And I traced the hospital. And he was there. They prayed all night. The person refused to come back to life. He was in coma. And then, as soon as I entered the hospital, a thing came over me. And I went. I said, everybody leave the bed. I have not come to see this girl. I have come to take her home. As I placed this handkerchief upon her, she will come back to life. I brought the handkerchief and I placed it on her and she came back to life. Now, you know that it's not me. It is him now that came in. I didn't live like that from my house. I want to go and see a member that is in coma for 2 days. Let me go and see. So you must know how he works so that when that thing comes, it is then you can speak boldly. Praise the Lord. So that is the gift. Just talking now. What time? Don't go. Don't do. Next time. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. Who again? Who again? Oh. Chile, you don't do. Kelechi from Imo State. Please, sir. Who is Methuselah? And why did Noah look up to him as a sign for the end time? Secondly, how can you explain falling away in the book of 2 Thessalonians 2:3? Because in my church, we are taught that it means the rapture, but from your teaching, you said it means deviation from the truth. Kelechi, you stay tuned. Next Friday, we shall answer you. God bless you. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands.